This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
LCSs are now selling your product on there with their other card accessories. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
So like that's a big part of the business. And then it's wild, man. It's really cool to see that how many, because I would go around talking to collectors before in my teens, 20s, 30s, talking to them, hey, do you have any steps you do to prep your cards or anything like that? And most people look at me like I was asking them if they had, like, you know, if they were selling, you know, cards I never heard of or something like that, like, huh, what, you know? And like, now it's like, I get pictures every day of people taking pictures of their workshops and like their setups and their toolboxes and all stuff. And it just blows me away. I'm like, this is all stuff I sat and did forever. Now all these people all over the internet are showing me their little setups that look just like mine. And it's fun. You know, it's cool to see. It's inspiring.
I just want to, you know, welcome everybody to the show, and I apologize. I haven't had my eyes on the comments for about an hour or so now, but we got over 60 people watching us on X right now, formerly Twitter, Kurt. So I want to welcome everybody who's watching on X and YouTube, of course, and Instagram as well, where you come and go. And if you're watching on Instagram, feel free to come over to YouTube and you can come join the chat if you want, which we've about 250 comments, Kurt, have come by that I haven't seen yet. I'm going to watch them later. Possibly I'll watch them later just to see, but I wouldn't be able to keep up. So I thought I'd just stick to my questions tonight, and I hope that's okay. But with you, Kurt, because, you know, plus we could go for four more hours here, I think, if we were taking all the questions and comments from the chat. I want to ask you though, do you get DMs, phone calls, emails from people saying, hey, Kurt, can you fly down to my place in Florida or fly down to my place in LA or Scottsdale and come work on these cards for me? I'll give you $50,000. Come on down for 5 days and work on my collection. Is that happening for you these days?
That is a funny thing to say. And yes, the answer is yes. I do get asked that. And it is kind of lavish, like you said. I haven't got the $50,000 offer. That might have to be, I might have to think about it at that point. But yeah, and I tell you what, it's like a person, a habit, it tweaks, and I'm like, no, I can't leave. No, I'm not going anywhere. The thing is, like, I have to stick to the system I built. I can't be everything to everybody. I'll answer every question, I'll answer every message. You know, if someone hits me up and is like, I hate you, like, I'll just block you. You know, I don't have any time for that shit. But like, if anybody asks me a legit question, I answer. But I can't fly to your house and teach you. But I have been getting a lot of serious requests of like, hey, Kurt, can you like rent out a room like a day before the national or after? Could we have a seminar? Could we do a master's class? Like, I listen to the market. You know what I mean? I don't come up with these ideas. But if I get asked something 50 times, I have to start thinking to myself, people really crave this type of leadership and like this type of brotherhood, you know? So I can't say no, never. I can't fly to somebody's house and do their work because all my tools are right here and I don't like to leave my house because I'm weird like that, you know? But, and I'm private, I guess not anymore, but like I usually am, you know, but I'll answer all the questions, but yeah, I do get some interesting invitations. You know, I get to meet a lot of cool people that have really cool jobs, you know, like, again, like I think being a plumber is as noble as a job as being a professional athlete because they're both super needed. You know what I mean? But like, I do get cool customers with unique jobs. It'll be like, hey, well, come on down, hang. And it's tempting, but I'm like, you know what? I'm here to teach you how to do it. I'm not here to do like it for you.
What kind of jobs?
When I was saying cool jobs, like, you know, I have customers that are a lot of athletes collect cards, lots. And they, and not only do they collect their own cards, they, a lot of athletes collect Michael Jordan cards. I can tell you that.
Really?
Yeah. Famous athletes, you know, it's the great part about having like famous customers is they'll hit me up and we just talk about cards. Like, I don't have to like act like I know much about their football team or whatever like that. Cause number one, I probably don't, but like, we just can talk, we can just bullshit about cards. And I think it's a relief because like they're talking to me for advice, you know what I mean? Or guys that are like, I love music, you know what I mean? So like, I don't think Josh will get mad at me, but like I posted a video today of a guy, customer feedback, and it's a guy with an overhead video cleaning a card real quick. And it goes from a PSA 6 to a PSA 9. That's the lead guitarist from Stone Sour. So that's Jeremy, or that's Josh Ram's video. And like, I could talk to Josh about, you know, being in a cool band and touring the country and be like fanboy on him. But no, we talk about cards. You know what I mean? Yeah. So look, just cool jobs. You know, I get to meet a lot of cool people.
Well, right. I mean, that's certainly maybe it's a perk, maybe not. And sometimes they want to ask you to come down to help them out. That's
maybe in the future. I write everything in pencil. You know what I mean? Cause you never know, you know, life changes quick. I can tell you that.
No, for sure. For sure. It does. The National Sports Card Convention, Sports Collectors Convention, I should say, is coming up here the end of July. Are you going to be there? Are you going to have a booth? Are you going to be selling your product, walking the floor, speaking on any panels, anything like this? What are your plans for the National this year, Kurt?
I just go and hang out, you know. Nobody ever, I don't know. I don't know too many like personalities inside the house. I'm excited to meet you, Jeremy. You know what I mean? Like, I know my customers pretty well, but like, I don't know the people that promote the National or anything like that. So I've never been asked anything like that, but I'd be down for it, you know. But I have made really nice relationships with a handful of card show promoters around the country that invite me to their card shows, and I come in like this at the end of this month. I'll be heading out to Philadelphia. There's a great group called the Fishtown Card Show. I'll be there, and the promoter's Brett. He's a super nice guy. My good buddy Joe does a show in Rhode Island, the Crown Jewel Show, and I'm excited for that. So like, you know, I get to do some traveling. I never set up as a vendor because I'm way too like, most of the people at card shows are like customers of mine, you know? So I like to go around and give everybody a hug and a handshake and just connect with everybody. I seem to know a lot of the people that are set up selling. So I just kind of network and shop and enjoy the ride.
All right, cool. Now here's a question that's kind of from out of left field, but I want to hear what you think about it. You know, and it's interesting. I saw a tweet today. I don't know if they're called tweets now or if they're called X's, but anyway, I saw a tweet today. I don't know if it was tongue in cheek or not, but they were basically saying, you know, card collecting is an addiction. It's worse than this, this, and this. I thought, well, I don't know if it's worse than those things, but card collecting, it can certainly be an addiction for people, you know, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, on cards as an addiction for people and how it might compare to another serious addiction or a serious addiction out there like alcoholism. And if you could just, and I mean, this question, just to everybody watching, listening right now, this question isn't as from out of left field as I make it sound. Kurt and I did have a discussion about this and I know that you found it compelling. So I'd like you to kind of share your thoughts on cards and addiction a little bit, please.
Yeah, man, I love that. Like, that's stuff that I am happy to connect with you about or anybody out here watching us on a one-on-one basis. I don't have time to fly to your house, but anybody's struggling and they're going through some shit, like, I'll talk to you. You know, it's I've been through addiction. It's terrible. And, you know, I grew up with, you know, like my dad drank too much. I said, I'll never be that guy. I turned into that guy, man. I drank pretty much every day for my 20s and 30s up into like mid 30s, man. And I was like, sure enough, I turned into what I didn't want to turn into. And you know what? It was addiction sucks because it almost fills up all the stuff you're good at and takes it away. And it's like, it starts off as fun. You know, people don't do stuff unless it's fun. So let's say whether it's alcohol, drugs, porn, cards, sex, whatever. I mean, people get addicted to stuff easy. And if you're addicted to anything right now, I know that you can feel ashamed and you feel alone, but let me tell you guys, it's a normal thing. There's a reason there's meetings all day, every day in every city and every part of the United States or hopefully around the world, because it's a human thing. And I was talking to Jeremy and we were talking about, like, I don't even know how we got talking about it, but I'm thankful that I'm free of alcohol, because there's no way I could run this business spending half my day buzzed up or drunk. There's no way. I feel that God really like changed my life and put a whole new purpose in my heart and was like, dude, there's a time, I think, in a man's life where the responsible thing is to be responsible, you know? And it was hearing me loud and clear. Like, I'm the type of person that could close my eyes and be like, if I could change one thing about me, what would it be? And it was always drinking. So I really put my rudder in the water five and a half years ago now. And I was like, I'm done. And I talked to a lot of people in the hobby because I don't like wear it all over the place and try to like tell people what to do with their lives or whatever. But like, if you're struggling with addiction and you need to, whether even if it's card addiction, it's dangerous because like, it's just something that I think that it'll take you down. And it's not only does it take you down, but it takes down your mom, your dad, your wife, your kids, whatever, you know what I mean? So it's a serious thing. And I do know, Jeremy, that even based on my DMs with guys, that there's people that are highly addicted to buying sports cards and selling them. And like, and it's, you know, I don't like to put my nose in people's business, but as soon as they leave me a little breadcrumb, I'll say, you all right? You know, is there anything else on your mind? What's going on? You know? And I tell you what, dude, I've had some deep conversations with people and some aha moments all through this vehicle of card care, you know? And it's like, I tell you, God works in crazy ways. You know what I mean? But it's just like, I think I had to go through a bunch of shit to like, I don't know, turn more into a man and get more mature and then be able to handle types of responsibilities like this. Because I'd be like, when I was a drinker too, I was a hothead. Like I'd get in a word battle with anybody and try to like win, you know, just to be, you know, and like, I don't know, just I look back, I wasn't proud of my behavior. I wasn't proud of myself. And I made those changes. So like, if anybody out there is like, if you're getting credit cards with guys that at 0% APR and maxing them out and setting a deadline of, I better sell these cards by the time this APR runs out, the warning signs are on the wall, you know? Yeah. And just remember, if you made some bad moves or stuck, it wasn't a life sentence. Get out now while you can. And you know what, if you ever, I can't be a sponsor, but if you ever had any questions, anybody had any questions about like, hey, you know, here's what I'm into. You know, anybody's allowed to say what's up to me. It's hard to find non-judgmental people that are like right in your inner circle sometimes, you know, so strangers, yeah, you know, were a big help for me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing all that. I think it is important. It's a bit off topic from the main theme of the show, but it's part important of who you are, and it came through our discussion. So I just wanted to ask you, are there any hobby issues, anything else that you wanted to talk about tonight, Kurt, that we might not have touched on? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but any other topics, any message you want to share with the people watching? You know, we're gonna be on podcast here within a few hours. We're gonna be, you know, this video is gonna live on the YouTube channel for ever probably. So, you know, anything else you'd like to, that's on your mind, hobby wise? I mean, you know, I'm up to, I see 283 unread comments I have on this episode, from the chat, and I don't know what they are because, 285 now, you know, I could go there to there. I don't want to get distracted. I want to stay focused with you here, but you know, we're going to wrap up soon. We're coming up on, we're an hour 33. And I know you told me you didn't think you'd make it 2 hours, but I could tell you probably could now, Kurt. You probably
I'm happy, Jeremy. Like, you know, and my message remains the same, guys. Cause like, I don't have a different message for someone that likes card care or doesn't, you know. It's just like, I appreciate you guys watching the show, and I appreciate you just like, you know, I can't tell you what to think, but I can encourage you to hopefully think, you know. And, you know, just anybody that found this kind of interesting or intriguing, or like, you know, I'd love to learn more, feel free to check out my stuff or hit me up with a message. And, you know, if it ain't for you and you don't like card care or what I stand for or what I do, that's okay. You know, I'm not mad at you. It's okay. You know, there's a lot of things going on that we all have to deal with every day. And if I can't please everybody, but I'm very happy that I got a great support group, great customers. Card Care is taking the steps I believe that are necessary. And just even Jeremy, guys like you that are like, said, hey, you know, I'd like to have you on, you know. And it's like, you know, I know how much effort you guys, I'll give this guy, Jeremy here. This guy, you guys are watching a good show. This guy is a hardworking dude. Like, he is well-read, reached out to me, you know, shared a bunch of thoughts and ideas. And just like, I tell you, Jeremy, you're one of the good ones. You put a lot of effort into this, and it's just a pleasure to be able to come on your show and be able to talk to all your viewers. And I just really have a lot of respect for you. And I thank you for the opportunity.
I appreciate it. I think most of the people that have sat where you are right now on that side of the screen, you know, are aware that I do like to do this right and put in the work and be prepared and all, you know. I know too, I've had guests on that some of my audience likes, doesn't like, you know, they like their products, they don't, whatever, their companies. But what I'm doing here, you know, and by bringing on any guest doesn't mean that I'm endorsing what they do or denouncing what they do. I'm just, you know, right now, Kurt, you're quite relevant in the hobby. You're out there right now. And I thought, you know what, this is somebody who has a story and has a history and has a background and is a person. And I want to learn about it. I want to learn about it as a lifelong hobbyist who is not going anywhere in this hobby. I'll probably be doing sports cards live till the day I die. Well, maybe not that long, but it's likely, you know, I don't plan on going anywhere. So, you know, it's, you're a hobbyist one way or another. You're a hobbyist and you're part of it. You're part of our ecosystem. You know, some people love it. Some people might think it's not the best thing, but that's okay. Like you said, and, none of us are going to please everybody all the time, Kurt. I think, you know, I've had my critics as well, and that's okay. You know, it like you said, it's okay. And I don't really care that much. Because here's the thing, Kurt, and this actually is a great segue into another question I have for you, which is, you know, as somebody who's making themselves public, you are opening yourself up to both praise and criticism. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, what do you get more of? Do you get more praise or do you get more criticism over the last, since you've really come public with your Instagram account and Kurt's Card Care?
Yeah, like, that's a good question, Jeremy. Like, okay. So I worked, like I shared with you, I worked in music and entertainment through after, you know, my family would have the dealership. I didn't want to sell cars. I didn't want to work on cars. I wanted to get out of that. I wanted to be a rock star, you know? So that didn't totally work out, but I had a lot of great time doing it. So the thing is, you know, you get feedback from your closest buds or people that you operate with. After having a public service where I sell products and teachings and stuff to people, it's like, it's sometimes awkward how nice people are to you. It's like, I don't even know how to sometimes handle it. I'm like, God, nobody's ever said thanks to me so many times. Or like, collectors will send me little trinkets or mementos. Like, I don't even know if I should, I don't even know if you can see it, but like, I got this card mat that somebody made me and sent me in the mail the other day. I got little 3D prints that people make. It's like, I don't even know how I got this lucky. I don't, you know, I don't even know how I got this lucky. Now, it's there's definitely critics or detractors, but I don't go looking for that, and I don't care. I mean, it's just the thing is, I listen to my customers. Like, it's from a business perspective, I got to listen to the people that are on the bus working with me, trusting me, and I am blessed to have an amazing relationship with them. So, like, again, I got to live in abundance, man. You know, there's always going to, I can't run after everybody that says you suck or we hate this. You know, I guess, and you know, Jeremy, is the older we get, right? I only have this much energy in one day, and I'm spending like 98% of it right now on customer service, production, managing the ship, you know? So it's like, I can't start feeling bad for myself and reading about people that don't like me or watching videos of people that don't like me. It just doesn't fit into my thing. You know, it's in order for me to stay creative, but you know what? I do like it a little bit because, I eat it up. I use that crap for fuel. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. Watch this. Wait to what I'm going to show you in 2 weeks from now. If you think this is crazy, just hang on. Here we go. You know what I mean? So like, it fires me up, you know, because I'm a very competitive person. And I know, I think that whatever industry you're in, you know, I think it's cool to have a variety of entrepreneurs that bring different things to the table and help shape ideas and practices and culture, you know, and, you know, like I said, the market speaks for itself. So I can tell you that a humongous part of the market is very happy to learn these types of skills.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier, you referred to it as the dark side, like counterfeiters and trimmers and that kind of thing. I think you alluded to it, but I don't think I probed it further back, you know, about an hour or so ago. But do counterfeiters reach out to you? Do trimmers reach out to you? Color restoration specialists? Are these people reaching out to you and kind of thinking like, oh, he's gonna kind of be one of my people, and then they find out that you're actually not, you're against those things? Like, how has that kind of worked out for you lately?
Oh yeah, man. Like, I think that I'm a pretty friendly and approachable person. So I don't know if people just think that like I'm open to whatever their agenda is or other ideas, but to all the legitimate, even the people that are watching this that don't like cleaning cards, and the people that do like cleaning cards, guess what? We're all part of the same. We're all, even if you don't like this, or don't like this, we're in a different part of the hobby. There is a totally different part of the hobby that I hope that you're not in. Because yes, there are people that have reached out to me to be like, how can I age a card? How can I make it look opposite of what you're doing? How do I do this? How do I do that? And I'm like, tell me what you got going on. Oh, I make 1,000 Nolan Ryan rookie cards a month, and I've learned how to weather them down and wear them down. I can sell them for like $425 a piece. And if you want to help me weather, people tell me this stuff, and I'm like, whoa.
Was that an actual example? Was that real? What you just said?
People are weird. There's criminals freaking everywhere, dude. And it's like in the card spaces, you know what I mean? There's like, what was that recent stuff? Like people make counterfeit cards. There's cards, like exquisite cards that come out of like China that are as good as the ones that Upper Deck made, you know? And again, people will reach out to you thinking like, hey, I'll sell you all these cards at a low price if you want to sell them. And it's like, dude, who do you think I ain't selling your counterfeit Vogue stuff? You know what I mean? Like, people criminals are dumb, and they'll say dumb stuff, you know? And I'll distance myself from that so quickly. I'm already taking a risk by showing people how to clean cards, because not a lot of people are cool with it right at first. So like, I can't have any of that shit anywhere near me. Like, get away, stay away, go away. Like, if you can't do it with a little bit of card polish or a little bit of card spray or a little corner tool, I'm out. Because this is what we built this thing on, is some things are fixable, some things aren't. But money's never been the number one motivator for anything in my life. Being kick-ass and good at stuff has been the number one motivator for me. And if you're usually good at stuff, you know, you can make a living doing it or something like that. But the dark side prioritizes money, number one, and extremely morally flexible.
I'm not going to ask you to share your the recipe for your card polish or your card spray, because I think that would go against what you know, your trade secrets. But I recently saw somebody put out a tweet or a post on Instagram that said, my wife is a chemist and she reverse engineered Kurt's card spray, and it's nothing more than water and isopropyl. And I got to ask you, Kurt, you said you spent so much time, you know, building and perfecting the recipe. If somebody watched that or saw that tweet or that post on Instagram, wherever I saw that, and mixed together those two ingredients and took it to the cards, could they do damage to their cards?
Sure, man. And you know what? You don't have to be a scientist. I absolutely use a touch of ISO. Like, I use a touch of ISO because a touch of it's fine. It's kind of like, you know, but making a blend with multiple solvents in it, you got to know how to balance this stuff out, because that's where the biggest, that's where the biggest thing where people will mess stuff up. And I tell people, you can make your own blends, you can do your own stuff, but you have to understand what works with each other and what complements each other. Because if not, you're going to be in a world of hurt, because I've done it. I've sat through it. I've done it, you know, and it's like, I've had guys sending me some pictures recently where they're like, hey, I soaked a card and it is 4 days later and it looks like it's moldy now. So what's my first question? What'd you soak it in? I was using some water. And I'm like, why didn't you just ask me? I'm like, if it was that simple, I would just use water. I go, I don't care what, this is how I learned the hard way. I would get cards look great for the first 20 minutes. And then as it takes a 4 day dry, they're going to start molding out and they're going to start going bad. And can I get it out? Maybe, you know what I mean? I would never encourage any, or not discourage people from going out and making formulas, but I tell you what, I'm not going to pat myself too hard on the back either, but guys, I pine over this. I tweak this stuff. You should see my cabinet of all of the chemicals and all the stuff that I own that I've been infatuated with product building and like formulas forever. I'm glad I got out of it, because I got into a different line of work, but I wanted to be like, at 20 years old, I went to culinary school for a couple of years. I was like, I want to be a chef because I love baking. I love ingredients. I love putting stuff together. And after doing that for a few years, I worked in restaurants. I was like, this job will make me insane. So I can't do it. So like, you know, then my family, like I said, was very good at using, we made a lot of cool products when we had the body shop and dealership, because it was easier to make stuff than sometimes buy tons of it. And I was like, you know what? I know how to make some really kick-ass stuff. I just got to take some of the harsher stuff out of it and, you know, kind of balance it out a little bit easier. And it took a long time, because the hardest part of making a cleaning spray was making one that I could soak cards with and putting it on cards. And I would say, guys, go out and do whatever the heck you want. But like, I'm all about the results. Until you show me your 1952 Topps, you know, Mickey Mantle rookie card that I purposely show you guys the most expensive cards in the world being treated to hopefully give you some confidence that it's not just a random concoction over here, but rather pretty damn thought out and obsessed over.
And the chemicals that you use, the touch of ISO that you mentioned, water must be in there. Do any of them stay on the card like after the process is complete, or does it all like 100% of it evaporate?
All evaporate. That's a huge important part. You got to start with your base in mind when you're making formulas like this. Like, there is so many things, so many solvents and chemicals that have additives that will stick behind. And when we're talking about cleaning up household products or a vehicle or stuff like that, no one cares. But when you're working on delicate little pieces of paper and cardboard, you cannot afford to have anything left behind. And that's like that's like the big picture that, like, as a developer and a product manufacturer, my big picture is, you know, not only how to make the stuff look good, but how not to like screw it up and leave stuff on it. So yeah, good question, Jeremy. That's a fine question.
And then Kurt, with that said, does that in itself make it impossible for a PSA or an SGC or a BGS or any grading? Does it make it impossible for a grading company to detect that the solution was ever on the card in the first place?
Yeah,
now, this is a scientific question. Like, I don't know the answer. Obviously.
I would have to say absolutely, Jeremy, and that's the whole design was in mind because I didn't want to get collectors. Like, you don't want to cut off your nose to save your face. You don't want to like make a card look really good, but then you're like, but I can never grade it or anything like that. You know, I'm not dumb. People like to grade cards. I like to grade cards. You know what I mean? I love the protection aspect of it. So that was key. You know, I didn't want to make something that I wouldn't even do this line of work if people like all my customers are like, dude, all my cards get kicked back to me. I'd feel terrible. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's not makeup.
If you could guess, and you might be the best person to guess this because you see the sales numbers. How many cards do you think are being submitted to grading companies that have been subject to Kurt's Card Care products?
Well, that's a good question. I would guess? Probably what, 80? I bet 80% of my customers grade cards, I would guess, because I get a lot of people will tag me or just like shoot me their results because they're, you know, they're excited or whatever, want to show me or shout me out at PSA's headquarters or whatever, however they want to do it. God, and you know, I supply a lot of guys that do tons of submissions. I would say probably, God, I wish I could have solid data on this. I bet you conservatively, Jeremy, probably 20 to 30,000 cards a month.
I was thinking he was going to say 25,000. And I'm like, okay, so that's, you know, if PSA alone is doing 1 million cards a month, you're one in every 40 cards out coming out of there a month, according to those numbers, may have been through, you know, been subject to some Kurt's Card Care treatment. That's significant, don't you think?
I do. And I bet you it's probably a conservative number. People love prepping their cards. You know, people love prepping their cards.
It's, you know, I've graded some cards in my life. The most I've ever done to a card personally, Kurt, is, you know, that's about all I've ever done before I've had a card graded because I just never really cared enough to, because I'm usually grading for my PC anyway. I don't know if I've ever graded card. Well, I have a couple I've graded to sell, but usually I'm grading for my personal collection. So yeah, that's about the extent of what I've done. And you know, even for myself as a collector and having you on, I've been forced to think about, you know, how do I approach the hobby knowing that a lot of cards have been through this? And like I said, I've probably got maybe one in 40 of my cards have been Kurt's Card Cared or some, sure, or another prepping service. And you know, that there's one card once we saw him in the chat earlier, Mr. Minty. I once gave him a card at the Burbank show to just to clean up before I submitted it to grade. It got graded. I had it graded by PSA. They graded it, no problem. I don't even know what he did to the card, to be honest. He gave it back to me the next day. But that's my experience firsthand, what I've done. And so I've asked myself, you know, where do I fall on this? And the way I can best explain it to you, Kurt, I think I mentioned this to you, but to the audience and you guys who watch Sports Cards Live probably know this already. But for me, the way I explain it, Kurt, and like, no offense to you or your customers at all, but if I'm at a card show and I see two, I don't know, let's use Nolan Ryan rookies, and we know they're real, they're not counterfeits, two Nolan Ryan rookie cards in PSA slabs, and they're both PSA sixes, and one of them was worked on, one of them wasn't. Myself, as a traditionalist, I'm going to want the one that wasn't worked on. Does that offend you at all, Kurt? Do you have any issue with that?
No, it just tells me I have more work to do.
In terms of what?
In terms of like showing people that there's nothing to worry about. you know, there's nothing to worry about. Cards aren't going to like turn into powder or dust in 10 years. There's not a, and frankly, what are the main things that hurt paper, you know? So through my, I can lean back on my experience and you know, all the collected knowledge I have in this area. The biggest things that will hurt paper are simple things: sunlight, water, dirt, you know, stuff that they collect over years. So the thing is, like, say you soak a card and you pull all the grit out of it, and you know, it looks better, it's in better shape. I would, you know, say they're both gonna be in slabs, I think they'll be just fine. But I just think that, you know, when I just don't think there's a difference. I don't think that one, I wouldn't go as far as saying the one that wasn't treated is gonna like turn. But the thing is, it's okay. No, the answer is no, it doesn't offend me, you know. I don't know like how that would be disclosed, or if the guy was like, hey, these are both sixes, but just FYI, I prepped this one personally and cleaned it. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Jeremy, I respect your ability to choose, you know? I don't like people telling me what to do or telling me, you know, somebody's always training somebody, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, when it comes to stuff like that, it doesn't offend me one bit, because there's probably people that would say, hey, you know, now that card's been, you know, cleaned up and restored, I'll take that one, you know? So there's,
yeah, maybe
there's somebody, yeah, that would probably pick opposite. So you can buy the one that you're comfortable with, and the other person will buy the one that they're comfortable with.
Yeah. And I want to clarify, for, with my example, both of those cards are they look the exact same. You know what I mean? Like, they have the same centering, they have the same corner issues, the same fish eyes on the back or wherever.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, because I recognize, like most people do, that not all PSA sixes are equal. There's a wide range of conditions and different defects on a card within any grade point, especially as you work down the scale. I think the higher you go, the narrower the margin is, or at least theoretically, that should be the case. You just mentioned disclosure. I want to ask your thoughts on that. Maybe this will be the last one before we just sort of say goodbye. And at that point, I will go look at the last few comments that have come in. And just thank everybody for being here, of course. But disclosure, Kurt, and this is something that I've seen a lot of people say, and so this is one I want to get your thoughts on. If you are going, what I hear people say is, if you are going to soak a card or treat a card, rub out a crease, and I don't, is the technical term rub out a crease, or what do you say?
I think it's funny that you said rub out, so I like that.
Shouldn't have said
let's,
that.
Let's keep it at that. Whatever. I get what you're saying.
If you're gonna fix a crease, mm-hmm. Or you're gonna soak a card, if you're going to use Kurt's Card Care or Mr. Minty or whatever, you're gonna do your own thing, and then you're going to either sell the card raw or get it graded and sell it graded. Is there any, this is what I've heard, that there should be an obligation for those people who are selling those cards to disclose what treatment they performed upon said card. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's like interesting. I mean, like, I'm open-minded. Like, I don't care if people disclose the information. Like, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I film these cards from start to finish and I show you my results. So like, I'm pretty damn transparent. So transparency is fine with me, you know, like, but I don't know how you enforce something. It's not like I can tell you to do that. Like, hey guys, tell people you prepped up your card. I don't know.
Well, you can't enforce it. Obviously you cannot enforce it. And also I think because we've established here tonight that, you know, for example, with soaking or spraying, there are no signs that that ever happened to the card after it all evaporates. So now you've got the ability to not have to disclose, because no one could prove you otherwise. Whereas, you know, disclosures are often made to cover your butt so that when you do get caught, I disclosed it. What are you talking about? Right. I disclosed it. You knew. You indemnified me. You signed off on it. That's often why we have disclosures, right? But if you don't need if there's no way to detect that it happened, then people can say, well, why would I bother disclosing it? There's no one can detect it. I'm not going to disclose it. That would put me at a financial disadvantage upon sale, let's say. So, but do you think that there's an ethical reason? Or if you saw, if you were at a card show, Kurt, and you walked upon a table that had, you know, graded cards, and on certain cards there were these purple stickers, or maybe they're the, maybe they're the one of the colors of your logo. They put a little sticker on there, and someone said, "What does that sticker mean?" Kurt's Card Care. We treated that card with Kurt's Card Care. How, what would that, what would you think about that? Would you be proud? Would you be kind of like, wow? Would you be like, oh, I don't know? How would you feel about that?
I'd find it very weird, you know, honestly, like, because it's a strange hypothetical for me. Like, I think that it's almost like, so like now, if, when I listened to the Beckett interview the other day, I thought it was good. So like, what if now, I'll tell you guys, even though people don't want it, some people don't want to hear it, it's almost like me telling a Democrat, like telling a lib to like vote for a Republican or something like that. It ain't gonna happen. So I could say, I could come up with the best words on your show, Jeremy. Certain people already made up their mind, right? So the point is, when it comes to this area, what if there was a restoration aspect? PSA, BGS could maybe get relevant again. These companies, what if there was an authentic, because I'll tell you guys this, Kurt's Card Care is Boy Scout card care compared to some of the stuff you could do. Like, so let's say my stuff's being graded and all the stuff that my customers do because it physically isn't there. You're not messing up the card. You prepped it and cleaned it. That's one bucket, okay? But now let's say I could go out and buy a 1952 Mickey Mantle with pinholes in it, and I could buy, wouldn't it be cool? Like, this is all hypotheticals, right? But what if a company came out with color matching paints and all the stuff from that era, where it would be obvious that you painted a card, it would be obvious that you did all that stuff to it. So then when you send it to a grader, it's clear that there's new paint on it. You can't be that good to put new paint on a card. It's going to show. 70-year-old paint's different from today's paint. But what if there's a whole category where people could, if they were into altered cards, they could alter them like that, and they were tagged. It said altered, paint added, 6. I think that'd be cool as hell, you know, because guess what? Somebody would buy an altered, paint added 6 because not everybody can buy a $50,000 card. There's a market for everybody. You know, that's a thing, abundance. There's a market for everybody. So if disclosure goes along with that, all about it, sure. But the thing is, Kurt's Card Care ain't going to fall into that bucket because it's not getting marked altered anyways. But if you trimmed a card or painted a card, these pros at the work of these grading companies, they can smell that a mile away. They ain't fools, you know? So it would be cool if there was, because there's graded cards and then there's altered. Like, why are they all like, they're all like the bad toys? You know what I mean? Let's fix them up and clean them up and put them in their own little department. You know, I think it would be a wise move for grading services. I thought it was a cool thought. So maybe in that type of disclosure, Jeremy, where it's like, it comes from an official company, if there was a thing for it, but going through a process of prepping a card, cleaning a card. And I tell you what, man, it's pretty normal. You know, it's like, more people prep cards and clean cards than I think that anybody realizes, you know, especially from where I sit.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You know, when you tell us about kind of your sales volumes and the retail business, it seems to me like this is something, you know, I titled this episode, you know, Kurt's Card Care is leading the card cleaning movement. I don't know if you're leading it, but you're certainly the face of it right now. I think you're probably leading it. You know, it's becoming apparent to me that it is a lot more prevalent than I thought it was. And call me naive, whatever. It's much more prevalent. I remember, here's a quick story for you, Kurt. I remember I was set up at a show here in Canada, probably 2017, 16. And I had a Maurice Richard, a 1951 Parkhurst Maurice Richard, sitting in my showcase in a PSA 4. And this was a show where I actually had a showcase with personal collection cards. So this was my PC card. not for sale unless someone made me an offer I can't refuse. I mean, I can always go replace it if I had to, but I love this copy. And a guy I know who is, you know, I'd say, you know, a regular on the scene came up to me and he said, Jeremy, why don't you clean that up? That's easily a five. I'm like, I don't care. I like the card as it is. I'm not selling it. I'm not going to mess around and take any risks to turn it into a five. I don't care if it's a five. I'd rather have a strong four than a weak five in my collection because I respect the card more than I respect the slab, you know? So I was like, but what the purpose of this story is that he walked away and I was like, did that really just happen? Did this guy who I believe is a very well-respected hobbyist just tell me that he could, you know, he or somebody could, you know, clean out that, whatever, reduce the impact of that crease, whatever the issue was with the card. I still have the card and it's still in that same four holder, I'll tell you. But, you know, I was kind of mind blown that this was going on. And now I wouldn't be so mind blown because I've now been exposed to it and I'm talking to you and I've talked to people and I, you know, hear your sales volumes and people are selling it in stores. It's like, it's out there. It's happening. And I believe that like you said, I believe it's happening more than I ever thought it was. And I'm okay that I didn't know, but it's an interesting time and it's an interesting sort of place for the overall hobby from the divisive nature, because, you know, when I was looking at the comments earlier tonight, there were people supporting you. There were people in the comments that were not for those processes on cards. And I wonder which is the majority nowadays. I mean, I feel like the traditionalists are still going to be the majority, but I don't know how long that's going to last. And that's just, you know, me thinking for myself and what I think is going on in the greater hobby right now. Any response to that?
Yeah, a couple of things, you know, like, again, like I, of all things, you know, I devoted, you know, years to working on cards, and I'm glad I did because it helped me do a lot of cool things I'm proud of. But like, I also thought that I really felt this nudge, Jeremy, to step up and bring this out, because one of my biggest concerns is like, I feel that I am what's the word that we've used? Something like, you know, a person that, you know, the purist. I feel like I'll make you an argument that I'm a purist. I love these things so much that I want them to look in their purest form like they did when they were brand new. You know, like, I'll call myself that. And the thing is, I thought since there was no standard for card care and it was a bunch of kind of like whispers or people policing each other when it doesn't go in their favor or something like that, you know, it's like, just think if like I said, I got critics, I get it, but I got tons of love and tons of support. Just think of another guy sitting in my seat, came up with this stuff that was like a total put money first, always. And like did everything and pushed us down people's throats and was like made shady stuff and made crappy products and just like came in and just like bastardized this. And then nobody would give card care a shot ever again. All it takes is one person, some loud mouth to come in and buy all the advertising and, you know, come in and just like, probably an outsider that doesn't know anything about cards, come in and just, I felt it's like somebody was going to jump into this and start like, because I've always been around card care and I know tons of people that are into it. And I was like, if I don't go up and lead this thing up, somebody's going to get in here and just try to look like a fool doing this. And it's going to screw everything up. And then we're going to be back in this corner of like, oh, it's just a bunch of like hacky stuff. So like what I think that proper card care like this, Jeremy, helps people stay in the hobby and it gives them another outlet. Because think about it, you have a podcast and a video cast that keeps you probably in the hobby still. Because if you don't have another outlet besides buying and selling and trading, I'll speak on behalf of all of us. It can get old after a while. It can get stale. And there's, I bet you every collector, even if you call yourself a lifelong collector, you've probably gone through phases where you were in or out or not as motivated, you know, or people have gone into breaks or card razzes or buy boxes. Now with card care and like starting to get like some boundaries on this stuff better and some proof that it works, it's all about the results. You know what I mean? So the proof that it works, I think that this, and I not think, this is the feedback I get every single day is, hey, now I can go out and confidently buy stuff that I want to work on. It keeps me in the hobby. I like searching for beat up cards and abandoned cards now more than anything else. Now I can buy, it's way more from a, because chances are if you buy a four, you're not going to turn it into a two. You might not turn it into a six or a seven, or you might not even grade it. But the point is, this card care, there are so many people out there, Jeremy, like me, that have busy hands that like to sit and do little projects. You know, maybe some guys like to go through and buy a bunch of stuff on auctions. Other guys could sit here confidently with a stack of 1966, you know, Batman cards and go through the whole box like I plan on doing. You know what I mean? So it's just like, as soon as we think we know what everybody's doing or how everybody thinks, you're so, that's a sign of being so out of touch. You know, so I don't know what everybody's doing. I don't know what everybody thinks, but I do know that based on the people that communicate with me, buy for me, and trust me, that card care is a huge bonus and has added, you know, a lot of enjoyment and a lot of like just good things for them personally. And we need that. You know what I mean? It sucks to have people get in the hobby for like 2-3 years and burn out and fade away and go away. And it's a transient hobby. You know, like people that get into, like musicians are pretty much lifelong people. People that collect automobiles, and like I grew up with a bunch of mechanics and race car drivers and stuff like that. They didn't get in and out of hot rods. These guys were motorcycle builders, car builders. They devoted their lives to it. But this hobby, we can go flow in and out of it. I think adding a restoration element, just like adding a restoration element to any other hobby, is what keeps people involved in that hobby. Name any one of them, and like care is a part of it. You know what I mean? So I will make a strong case and back it up that this type of work is going to keep people in this hobby more and bring more people, you know, happiness and satisfaction from being in it. I see it. You know, that's just a result of what I do and getting the messages that I get. And I can say firsthand, it's helped me through a lot of it, because there's times where I was just bored of buying stuff. But, you know, can I work on something and impress myself and think it's cool? Yeah, I can. And that's valuable to me.
All right, Kurt, listen, we're at the 2 hour, 10 minute mark here. I'm 449 comments behind. We've got almost 80 people watching on Twitter, but 130 on YouTube, about 11 right now on Instagram. And so obviously people are still tuned in. And what do you think? Do you want to wrap up, or do you want to should I go to some comments and see what's going on? What do you think?
I mean, whatever you think, man. I mean, I don't want to wear out my welcome, you know, but if there's anything that's thoughtful or whatever that somebody had a legitimate, you know, question about, I'm cool with it.
All right. Well, here, I've got a few that I had starred earlier, like I can put a little star in, but these are already from almost 2 hours ago. So I apologize to the people who are here live. But for those of you listening on podcast or watching the future, it doesn't matter as much. Foul Five Ball here asks, Kurt, have you ever ruined a card? If so, did you post a video of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I think we did talk about it a little bit. I will buy cards every year and see how long it takes to like make them split apart, or how hard you got to push on them to get the colors to go away and stuff like that. So I purposely ruin cards, not good ones, you know, but like I grab usually one of every card each year and just see what it takes to push it to the limits. But unexpected surprises, fortunately, knock on wood, not a lot. And then on behalf of my customers, I will definitely have customers say, hey man, I got some polish that dried on my card. Do I scratch it off or do I get it off? Usually, thank God, I think people take my best practices seriously, because I think about those all day, every day. They're on my site, they're on the confirmation letters, all over the videos. So that's a great question, by the way, Foul Ball Five. So thank you for asking that. And yes, when I started working on cards, little things, man, like when I started using my plastic plates, I don't know if you guys ever seen me use my plates, but there was a time where I put cards between plates and I'd like holding them and making them like rest and stuff like that. There's times where I didn't realize that a paper card, if it got warm, it would stick to the front of that plate. Man, I took that plate off, ripped the whole front off. Basically everything I've taught you guys, I've taught you for a reason, because I didn't do it that way the first time and I screwed something up. So yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, good. Interesting.
You have to fail at this. You have to make mistakes. Not you is my potential people out there, like, listen to me and learn from me. But like, yes, it's definitely doable.
Andy E said, Kurt, could you tell me how long it took you to perfect the process for Kurt's Card Care and how many cards you tested it on before going public?
That's a good one, Andy. Well, I think I made my first rounds of stuff in 2010-ish. So like, I gave a few of my friends like some of this stuff, like, you know, early on, but like before selling to strangers, thousands of cards, because I'm an anxious person to begin with. And I was always like, if I let somebody down, I'm going to freaking barf. You know what I mean? So like privately. And then I worked on people's cards privately for four and a half years. So a lot. Yeah, that's a good question, Andy. That's my biggest concern.
Ben Dejo said, have you ever worked on a 52 mantle?
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of times. Yep.
Vintage card collector asked, have any of the grading companies reached out asking questions about your products and potential long-term effects?
No.
Interesting.
But customers, have, you know, but I don't think grading. I don't think the grading company. I mean, I'd like to be friends with them. I'm a customer, but I mean, no, they don't really talk to me.
When you submit cards yourself to the grading companies, do you do it under your name?
Yeah. I was wondering. Like, I wonder if they'll like if they know my name, will they be like, we're gonna grade them extra hard now, or give you a low score,
but... or just scrutinize maybe and look for the.
But no, I'm a good customer, so yeah, I haven't had any problems. Again, I'm not trying to hide out. Like, I'm the opposite of hiding out. You know what I mean? I film everything and I talk. I've never had a grading company give me, I don't think, so sometimes I got a couple low scores that I thought were questionable, but nothing. I don't feel like I'm getting screwed over.
Bobby Burrell made a comment again. This is 2 hours ago. Although this has been going on for decades, Kurt is the first one who went public. The rapid rolling hobby river has many tributaries. And I don't know if you know Bobby, but he's written books on the hobby several. He's a historian and an all-around great, great hobbyist. Okay, so that's earlier. I'm going to, for the first time in a while, go to some of the more recent comments, and I'm not seeing much that I'm going to be able to use here. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time really seeing all sorts of weird talk about stuff that I don't think has much to do with the show here. Here's one. Dan the Card Man said, Jeremy, can you ask about the wax/polish leaving a residue? You only asked about the spray. That's a good, I'm glad I caught that one from Dan. Over to you, please, Kurt.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, I'm glad that Dan asked. So if you ever use card polish and you don't get it all off, it dries bright white. So I do it like that purposely so you see it. So like if you left any on the card, it's going to be bright white. So you don't want to do that. So like when if that ever happened, you simply wipe it off. So no, there's not any sort of residue. Because one thing that I use religiously is black lighting and the negative light spectrum. So I can see if there's any residues. You know, it's a funny thing, Jeremy, that I think people did maybe in the 70s and 80s on paper cards was use soap to clean them. So like vintage collectors out there, you know, it's spend the $10, get one of these black light. Okay. And if you shine your black light on your cards and you see a bunch of weird glowing spots and you're like, the card looks good. What the hell is all this? Soap glows weird under black lights. So like just I'd encourage everybody to inspect it, whether you like card care or don't. Just make sure you're not wasting your time sending cards of people covered in soap. So that's something I'm highly sensitive of. And that's why I built my formula the way I did, so it doesn't leave any sort of residuals or any junk on your card that you don't want.
Okay, good. I was just scrolling comments. I didn't see a lot really to work with, but I did find one here. Where did it go? Oh, darn it. Maybe I didn't. Oh yeah, Midlife Sports Card said restored books are listed as restored. Restored art is disclosed as restored. If he or anybody is restoring cards why shouldn't it be disclosed? That's an interesting angle, Kurt, I think, and it's a good sort of rebuttal to what you said earlier. I'd like to hear your thought. And I agree with this. Like, as a consumer, as a collector, I do want to know if my cards, what they've been through, when they've been treated, let's say. Now, the reason why I said that slowly is because you could have a card that's completely organic in its history, and you don't, it could have been in the mud, it could have been in a pocket, it could have been through all sorts of weird things, and you'd never know, and you wouldn't expect to know.
Right.
But like Midlife says, and other people I think would feel the same way, as soon as you run it through Kurt's Card Care, it seems to have a different sort of stigma attached to it than just like those, it's like I said to you the other day, Kurt, alteration to me, if you are removing a crease or you're flattening out a dinged corner, well, you're actually reversing the original alteration. That card was first altered when it was creased or when the corner was dinged. That was the alteration. If a kid wrote their initials on the back of a card in pencil, that's the first instance of alteration. If you're removing that, that's the second instance of alteration. I'm not saying it isn't I'm not saying either of those are or aren't alteration. Maybe I am saying that. I am saying that maybe they're both alteration. But, as a consumer, I would want to know. I'm just saying that out. I'm just putting that out there to you. Sure. I would want to know for whatever reason. So to Midlife's comment here, are you personally, would you be against a movement that would say, listen, Kurt, we're okay if everybody uses your product, but disclose it and then the hobby ethical thing to do would be to tell the grading company, whose then process would be to put a qualifier on it, or put, sometimes they'll say altered, or they'll say authentic, or they'll say whatever they say. Maybe they would then say, cleaned or treated or whatever that terminology would be. I don't know, but like, I wouldn't be against that as a hobbyist, just like I'm not against when PSA says altered on the card. The only thing I'm against when PSA puts altered on the card, they don't tell you how it was altered. That's like, don't tell me it's altered, but not tell me how it was altered. Mm-hmm. Like, you're giving me 10% of the information there. That's a different issue. I would like to know that. And I don't think, and I think that if the grading companies could somehow get on board to work with you or your products and your customers, again, by adding a disclosure, I wouldn't be against that. Would you be against that or for it or indifferent?
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm indifferent. It's like, because I think the question is like, why shouldn't it be disclosed? I didn't say it shouldn't, but the point is like, how are you going to keep tabs on, like, cards are bought, sold, and traded so quickly that, I mean, let's just be realistic, guys. Let's be realistic too. Like, sure, I don't care if you tell somebody. I'm proud if you say, hey, look how good I made this card look. And I just use this guy Kurt stuff and look, it's freaking beautiful. Great. Tell them. I don't have any problem with that. But I don't know. I'm a manufacturer. I can't tell you what to say and how to say it and then what to do and grading companies don't talk to me. I'd be dumb. I'm, as you know, Jeremy, I'm not hard to get a hold of. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't. Here's the thing. I don't think I can. Maybe I'm, when I read it, it's like restored books are listed as restored. Restored art is disclosed as restored. Now, those are. That could be a fact. But like, what constitutes restored with a book and with art? Now, are you adding paint? Are you, what are you doing to it? I'm not doing any of those things. So it's like, if we're going to use data for this, it's got to be very, very specific. Let's paint a better picture than this, because this
you're right,
this is vague.
You're right, Kurt, because we and I don't I'm not in midlife sports cards head, but I'm guessing that they know a bit about books. And I don't know where that line is between restoring and say cleaning or preserving, those sorts of things. But if you're taking an original piece of art and you are going to soak it in art cleaning solution that doesn't damage the art, doesn't remove any of the paint, and that evaporates completely, is that restoring or is that cleaning? I don't know the definition of restoring for books. Maybe it's adding, maybe it's, you know, filling in a hole on the canvas, or, you know, the where the corner stretches around the canvas stretches around the wood frame and there's a hole pokes through. You know, maybe they're adding fabric back or what, however they would do that. I have no idea. But is, you know, to midlife's point, maybe, and I think I agree with midlife. Yeah, I think I would like a restored card to be disclosed as such. And I think that like the PSAs of the world can actually, that's what they say is authentic or altered, because, you know, the pinhole was filled in or the corner was built back up or the color was added back. To me, that is restored.
Right.
Well, or very poorly. But if you're just cleaning that Mona Lisa or that Jackson Pollock, whatever, you're just cleaning it, are you restoring it?
Right. And then the other thing is, like, book restoration experts are highly respected, highly paid, highly coveted. Art restoration experts, highly paid, highly coveted, highly respected. Now, does that mean that if we're going to be disclosing card care, now are we all of a sudden highly respected and, you know, we're all in now and now it's a thing, you know, because I imagine if we get to this disclosure part, that's like getting to third base real quick. What happened at first? What happened at second? You know, well, tell me the other steps. There's more to this story. So is it like, you know, now is it all legit? And now, you know, sure. I mean, that's the beautiful part about the future. You know, it's coming, you know, and we're going to find out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay, I'm just scanning comments now to see if there's anything that is a good question or comment. Splendid said, I just drank another bottle of Kurtz.
I would read the label on the back. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Splendid. Don't do that. You're welcome, Foul Fiveball. I'm glad I caught that one for taking some comments. It's been okay. I see a question. Thank you to our moderator for pointing me. I'm going to go look for that right now. See if I can find that comment from Lashwine. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it, but he points out one that came in a while. I think that's a while ago. I hope that's my time, Lash. I hope that's my time. I'm going to try and, oh, is this it here? You can clean and press a comment. Why? Hold on. Let me just, can't see the whole thing. Why is that acceptable in that community but not in this one? Is that the comment? Yeah, that's the comment. Thank you, Lash. Thank you. So you can clean and press. Yeah, I think we kind of talked about that earlier, but you know, here we are, Kurt. Do you want to just mention it again?
I think it's a cool thing. I think it's not acceptable yet. Because you know what, like, you guys can, like, I wish I knew the guy's name, because there was like a singular guy that stepped up in the comic community and said, look what I can teach all of you how to do. And he took probably a boatload of shit and, you know, a lot of stuff that went in for him to have the courage to show people how to restore these books. And now it's like a standard, you know, like, do you know that guy, Jeremy? Do you know that it's like, I read a bio on the guy. He had a remarkable story.
I don't. I'm not sorry, and I'm a tad distracted as I'm just running through some of these. So no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a comic book guy that really, I think there's, you know, your viewers are smart people. I'm sure they probably know the guy, but like, there was a guy that stood up and said, hey, here's how you work with these materials, and here's how I've come to learn how to respect them and make them look great again. People don't like it, but then people did like it. You know, because it became popular and it became accepted. Like, you know, as soon as like a company that people like respects says it's okay, it's almost like then people are, oh, it's okay. Now it's okay. Like, I knew some people like here in Michigan. Like, I'll tell you something. It's like, it's just, it is what it is. It's just, I've always just been a free thinker. But like, I remember there was like like when weed became legal in Michigan. There's people that never smoked weed in their life, and now weed's legal. And they're like, well, now I can smoke it. I'm like, why? Because the freaking government told you it was cool to smoke weed now? Like, really? Like, you needed somebody's permission? But they did. They needed someone's permission. So maybe just, you know, maybe people respect the grading. But I remember when the grading companies came out, you guys, nobody liked them or respected them. They thought it was a racket. And probably still people still do. You know what I mean? But like, it's a common thing and people like it now, you know? So it just takes a movement. You know, nothing changes overnight.
Okay. Thank you for that. And here's a David Kaplan says, if you accidentally spill coffee on a card and then you wipe it off, is that card restored? Are you supposed to let the coffee stain the card permanently? It's an interesting scenario. I'll tell you, if I drink coffee here at my desk and I have cards on my desk, and thankfully I've never spilt my coffee on my cards. But if I did, the first thing I'm going to look for is a roll of paper towel to absorb that off of my precious cards. And I'm going to be really, really mad at myself. But what are your thoughts on this, if any?
I mean, and that's another reason why I don't really like give any effort, time, or response to like negative, like this shoot your mouth off critics, because they can be picked apart so quickly, Jeremy. Like, you know, like we said, like I even might have said this to the other, like, well, let's just role play for fun. You're eating a piece of pizza and you're opening up your new Upper Deck cards, and you get to the Connor Bedard and you cough because you're freaking excited and you shoot pizza sauce all over the front of Connor. Tell me you're the truth right now. You going to wipe that pizza sauce off, Connor?
Of course I am.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, but what about 8 years from now? Is it okay to wipe off the Connor pizza sauce 8 years from now? Or is it like the 5 second rule? Yeah.
See, well, the great, you know, you set that up well. And you know, it's I think yeah, to me it's okay to wipe off that pizza sauce if I didn't notice it at the time, and now here I am and I'm inspecting my card. Maybe someone has sent it for grading and I see a little chunk of tomato sauce on there. I'm probably gonna try and take it off. Like, thankfully I've never spit pizza sauce or really anything on a card, but I gotta think I'd probably want to wipe that off, especially if I'm gonna send it in for grading.
And then if you have like a safe little formula that will make it come off in 2 seconds, you're not a bad guy. You're smart. You're just taking care of your stuff. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a way to look at it. And I can see that. I can see that position. I also see that there are people who would say, no, that crosses the line. And does it cross the line or not?
I mean, I want to give those people a lie detector test because they're lying.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. It's a lie, you know. But you know, the thing is, if somebody ever came out with an opinion or a hot take on anything, and especially if they made it on the internet, they will never change it. It will always, they will put their heels in the ground and just try to find new ways to fear monger and new ways to, like, you know, come up with a new story or something like that. But I mean, that's humans.
Exactly. Okay, X Ace Baseball Card said, I might have missed this. Is Kurt going to patent his product? So then I assume he'd feel comfortable with the ingredients being listed.
Yeah, you know, there's no reason to patent anything like this. Patents, like when it comes to formulas, have all been done. And patents also create like an easy way for a workaround. So there's really no, here, I'm close to this. I got one patent. It's my utility patent. This is in the final stages. So there's a patent in there. And you know what? There's a reason why I hope you notice I share so much. You know, it's like I give free advice, customer service, products. Like I give, man. But like there is a reason why I keep a tight lip on everything, because I don't know where the future is going to go. And I do expect big things for this, you know, and there is going to be a time where things we're going to have to adjust or move. But until then, you know, it's just like, you can either trust me and buy stuff from me or don't. Either one's fine. But a patent is, I got a utility patent, hopefully on the final stages with this. So what a utility patent will do for me, at least, will prevent people from stealing from me or ripping me off, because I've seen a couple other card care companies that popped up, you know, and use very similar words as mine. And kind of almost trying to tell you the same story, and then make something like this and even call it the card tool. Like, it makes me inside just want to barf. I'm like, dude, get an original thought, pal. But the point is, go ahead and take it for now. But the thing is, hopefully when that utility patent rolls through, I'll be able to I'll have the lockdown on anybody making something called a card tool that is utility was to fix edges and corners. So I got in front of that a long time ago.
Greggy says, Jeremy, do not have liquids near your cards, please. Yeah, I know. But sometimes, you know, I like my coffee and I like my cards, coffee and cards. Bob Boozle here says, stains are good. Embrace the stain. And Splendid said, I like the stains on my 1914 Cracker Jack card. It tells the story. And like, I do too. I'm with these guys, Kurt. I, on a vintage card, like a, you know, a tobacco card that might have some of those dark little circular stains on the back. Like, I don't want those coming out of the card. I want those there. That to me, that's the hobby right there, is the history and how they were distributed and what they came out of. And, you know, the tobacco that they were rubbing up against. I think that's why I like my vintage cards to look their age. But,
and the good news is you can't even really get all that stuff out anyway. So like, you know, the tobacco and stuff on the Cracker Jack cards, it's not even tobacco, it's candy, because it came out of a Cracker Jack box. You know what I mean? But it's like the candy stains on the back of, I have probably a dozen 1914 Cracker Jack cards. And you know what? You can get the dirt off of them, but the old candy stains are going to remain. So if you want the dirt gone, but you still want the candy stains on there, that's okay. I respect that.
Brendan Ryan said, Kurt, what's the oldest card you have worked on?
1887. Allen and Gentner. It's one of my favorite restorations ever. It's on my YouTube or whatever social channels I have. I have YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, but it was a 1887 Allen Gentner's, and it was dirty and it was stained, and it was amazing. It was very, very, very cool. So 1887 would be the oldest.
Adam Elf said, distilled water, how does it hurt or affect a piece of cardboard?
I mean, that's just a vague statement. I mean, what are you doing with the distilled water? Just touching it? I don't know.
Okay. No, if the question is,
I use distilled water in my humidor. I spray the heck out of the walls of that humidor. I fill that thing up. So I use distilled water every day with, you know, humidity and stuff like that. So it helps if you use it, you know, in a humid situation. I would just wanted to know. I'm not sure.
I see a comment from Bob Boozle. I must extend my condolences to the John Mangini family if he in fact did pass away, but I can't imagine that's true. But if he did, my condolences to the Mangini family for sure. Okay. All right. Listen, Kurt, thanks, man. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story with myself and the audience here. You know, anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Hey, it was awesome to connect with you, man. And you know, as a person that's always available, you know, to my customers and stuff, I do try to keep a little bit more of a low profile. I mean, if people need me, they can reach out to me. But it was nice to come on your show, and you know, it was cool just to come out and check it out. And it was, I appreciate the hospitality, man. I hope that you know, those tuned in, you know, enjoyed our conversation. And I appreciate you. I just to all my customers out there and supporters out there, guys, I love you from the bottom of my heart, and I just couldn't do it without you. And just, I appreciate you guys giving me the best job in the world, and I take it seriously.
All right. Well, thank you, Kurt. You know, I appreciate that. And it is important to me that no matter who my guest is, what they do in the hobby, how anyone else in the hobby looks upon my guest on this show, that I treat you with respect. I don't have to agree with what you do. I don't have to like it. But I do, my intentions are to make you comfortable, at least while you're here. So maybe you'll want to come back at some point, you know, if I invite you, and that you enjoy yourself. And for the most part, the audience on Sports Cards Live for the last, we're 4 years in now. In 3 days, it'll be 4 years since doing this show. And I got to give a big shout out to my loyal audience for knowing and just respecting you tonight and all the guests that I've had, you know, over the past 4 years. So thank you to the chat and to the audience again, as always. I do greatly appreciate you all joining, and I know some of you had some trepidation on this, but that's okay. You know, like, we don't agreement is not required, to watch this show or at all. But what is required is respect, is just respecting, you know, this platform. Because I, you know, the reason why I get the best guests in the hobby is because they come on and they feel like they were respected. Whether or not you do that, whether or not you respect them or not, doesn't really matter to me. It's what you show here when you are consuming this content. And again, for that, I'm just so grateful for the very awesome audience and chat, Kurt, here that we have on Sports Cards Live. So thank you to everybody for that. Going to read out a few of the final comments, Kurt. I'll give you final word and then we'll wrap up. Adam Elf said, distilled water does nothing to a card long-term. Ask a chemist that question and they will even tell you distilled water is water that is stripped down from its minerals, leaving just H2O. Learn something every day. Josh Giddy says, Kurt is a hobby legend. Adam Elf says, thanks for the show and thank you, Kurt, for your amazing products. The professor, Kurt, has extensive card structure knowledge from a very practical view. He is a card engineer. Very interesting. Bob Boozle has given me some credit. Thank you, Bob Boozle. Justin Bode says, we love your story. Love you, man. Much respect. Dude, I respect you. Nice comment from Justin. Josh Giddy, you the man, Kurt. Travis Trail, thank you, Travis, for being here. RIP to John Mangini. That's tragic. Taylor Laurie, thank you for that comment, Taylan. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Adam Elf. Thank you for the game. Turpin Forcer, that is correct. That is correct. Thank you, Lapper. Good to see you, buddy. Justin, much appreciated. Billy Joe, thank you for being here. Thank you, Yankees fan. Thank you, Dan the Card Man. Thank you, Foul Five Ball. Thank you, Dave Kaplan. Canucks win. Vancouver Canucks. Appreciate that. Brett Miles says, I appreciated the conversation this evening. As always, an enjoyable show. Huge respect, Jeremy. Thank you, Brett. Greatly appreciate. Thank you, Mike Nunya. Much appreciated. That's the end of the comments for now, Kurt. So final word over to you, and then we are done.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate everybody watching, you know, and I sincerely respect everybody that I think here's something I want to remember. Everybody that collects cards, I bet you we have a little bit more in common than not, you know? So I respect everybody's choice to do with the hobby, what they choose to do, as long as it's, you know, not the out of bounds stuff, you know, take good care of yourself, take care of other people, take care of your cards. That's all I think that we can really, you know, ask for. But I sincerely think that the collecting community is like no other. And I'm lucky to be a part of it. And it's been, you guys, quite a lifestyle change for me, from being a behind the scenes card care guy that made a few things that he liked to work with, now being, you know, kind of just part of this in a bigger capacity. And again, I take it seriously, and I just appreciate you check out the conversation. So I hope it was easy to understand. And if anybody has questions for me anytime, feel free to reach out, man. I respect you guys, and I'm not a hard person to get a hold of.
Appreciate those words. Kurt, Foul Fible, entertaining for sure. Thank you. His name is Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. Brendan Ryan says, live stream, excellent, Jeremy. And Dan the Card Man settles me down. John Mangini is alive and well. Okay, that's good to hear. Welcome back, John Mangini. Appreciate that. Yeah, and Brett Miles, and I want to shout out Lash Wine for taking care of the chat for me. I had a feeling it might get out of hand. And so thank you for that very, very much. All right, guys. Again, thank you for joining the show. We'll be back next week, as always, for the Toronto Expo preview and Let's Get Excited episode. And it'll be two Saturdays off in a row after that, as I'm at the Toronto show and then the Edmonton Expo. And then we'll be back at it yet again here on the Sports Cards Live channel. If you're not yet subscribed on all that, please do. You know, you can hit the like if you want, but I don't get too hung up on likes. But definitely please hit subscribe and check it out. And I want to thank you, Kurt, for bringing some of your customers to the show tonight and exposing myself and my platform and my content to them. So I want to welcome all the new people here tonight. Glad to have you. And, you know, check it out. We cover lots of different topics here on Sports Cards Live regularly. Thank you to the curmudgeon. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate that. Bob Boozle, thank you. Greggy F, thank you. Lash Wine, thank you as well. Guys, with that, this episode of Sports Cards Live on April the 13th, 2024 is now over.